Okay, so good morning and nice to see each one of you. Blessings, Thanksgiving blessings be upon you. Good to see you. Let me begin by going back some 65 years ago when I was a little guy. They called me Snowball because my hair was as white as snow. I went to the Little Pentecostal Sunday School in Campbell River. And back in those days, the thing that most I reminded of was that the whole altar back in those days was totally covered with things from the fall. Decorations, flowers, leaves, garden stuff, pumpkins everywhere, and squash everywhere. See, back in those days, everybody had a garden. And everybody grew pumpkins. Everybody grew pumpkins. Hey, listen, don't laugh. Jim's following my script, and sometimes I change it. So listen, hey, Jim, they're laughing at me here, okay? My mom used to say, Donald, we're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. Yeah, sure, Mom. Yeah, right. Oh, I should say, today I do have some serious things to say, but in the process, we do want to have a bit of fun. Okay? Is that okay? It is Thanksgiving, and it tells us to be filled with thanksgiving, praise, joy, etc. Okay, so we don't want to have too many long faces today because it's Thanksgiving. Okay. Are you ready, Jim? Everybody had pumpkins and everybody grew zucchinis. That one was a big one, okay? A few people had sunflowers, but everybody back in those days did canning, because in the 50s, few people had a freezer. Well, today, in addition to looking at Psalm 100, from time to time, we'll also be drawing special attention to a medley of verses from elsewhere in the Old Testament. And the point that I will be attempting to get across today is this. The Bible exhorts us as God's people to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, remembering his many blessings. Blessings that are both material and immaterial. And I'll be focusing probably more on the immaterial. Well, anyway, let's start with the material blessings. Things that we can physically see, touch, and sometimes eat. Now, today is October the 10th. So as such, there are many evidences of the fall season all around us. So allow me to show you five photographs which illustrate what King David was saying in Psalm 85. In Psalm 85 and verse 11, he says, "You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance." Now, this is what he's talking about, okay? That's what he's talking about. The carts are all overflowing with abundance. You know, my wife and I, when we go to Nelson every year, around this time to visit our son there, we always stop by what used to be Evelyn's old stomping grounds in Karamias. We stop at Parsons Fruit Stand, and we buy all this stuff. You know, squash for 33 cents a pound. You get it on sale here for 99, okay? apples and all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, he's got, beside, there you go, okay, you know. The verse, next verse says, "And the grasslands of the desert overflow, and the hills are clothed with gladness." This is a little lake about 20 miles this side of Grand Forks. So we go through Grand Forks, Soyuz, Carameas, on the number three highway. The next verse says, the meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain, and they shout for joy and sing. Well, there you go. So now you know why I enjoy driving. Well, I should clarify that. Now you know why I enjoy having my wife drive so that I can capture the pictures. The Lord wants us to tell the truth, right? I drive sometimes when it's really boring, okay? Now, talking more about material blessings, you may have noticed here that I've got a 3-gallon bucket. Oh, here we are. There we are. Okay, this is very significant. This is the exact bucket, and some of you know this to be the case. This is the exact bucket that I use every year to pick and to measure my blueberries. Now, the next photo shows the backyard with the 8 large blueberry bushes. And in the last week, the leaves are more red. So Vern, how is your bushes back there in your house? Are they turning red yet? Yes, okay, they have lots of blueberries too. Everything's turning red from the 8 big bushes that are about 15 years old. They're like this, you know, so they're good size. Now this year in particular, this being Thanksgiving, we want to give the Lord thanks that the bushes produced an overwhelmingly abundant crop. Okay? Yes, I recognize that I was the guy who did the pruning, fertilizing, watering, and weeding, but as the Bible says, it was God who gave the increase. I've got no questions about that, okay? I can't make those things grow. Only He can. Now, this year's crop was so abundant that I was reminded of the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, where God helped Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Remember that? Where the 7 big fat cows came up out of the river, and then the 7 skinny, ugly cows came up out of the river and gobbled up the fat cows and didn't change them at all. Okay, so let's look at Genesis 41 for the interpretation. It says, 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. And the answer is, no, I'm not praying for 7 years of famine. Okay. But neither am I praying for 7 years of abundance. That might be pushing it a bit too much, okay? Now, the next picture here is 12 bags full of berries. Okay. See, it says blue on there, blue 21, blue, that's 2021. Occasionally, we get behind and you're eating berries from a couple years ago. That might be the case this year because the freezer was stuffed full and I had to give a whole bunch away. So the question is, exactly how many berries am I thankful for? How many bucketfuls of berries did I get? Well, I picked a lot. My neighbors picked some, I gave some away, and even some people who are sitting here today came and helped me pick also. Now, if you didn't pick this year, we'll put you on the list for next year. Okay, so start praying right now for next year's bumper crop. Because if we get wiped out, it's not likely going to happen so much. Okay. So this next photo shows the inside of the bucket. There we go. Now, what does that mean? That means that all those lines inside the bucket, right there it says 12, and there's a line. That means that was the 12th time I picked, not necessarily the whole thing, but some. But that was a big picking because there was me and other people picking, and we filled the whole bucket all the way up. It was heavy. That was the 12th time. Oh, by the way, last year I only got 4.5 buckets. And I only picked 9 times. This year I picked 17 times. Yeah, it was. In fact, the one time when I had Kathy Johnson come and help me pick, I phoned her up and said, Kathy, I need your help. I can't do this. I couldn't. One person could not pick those berries in one day and clean them and get them ready. It was impossible. There was that much. So I picked 17 times, and by me and by others. So this year, I got, does it still say it up there? It says 9 bucketfuls. Okay, can you see that? 9 bucketfuls. Again, remember now, I didn't do any of it, okay? I'm not giving myself a big pat on the back because I didn't do it. I'm being thankful. That's what it's about today, being thankful. So, how much does each bucketful weigh? 18 pounds. So, Wendy and Marv, they did come and help pick. One bucketful is 18 pounds. And if you do the math, 9 times 18, by my calculator, says, to God be the glory, 162 pounds. Whoa. Now, I'm not looking at it in terms of money, but in the store, they're selling them for $5 a pound. That's $800. I'm not coming out of retirement, in case you're wondering, okay? So this, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect example of God's abundant material blessings. And why it says to us in Psalm 100 and verse 4, why we're exhorted to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. But, as I mentioned at the beginning, God's blessings are both material and immaterial. And so with that, I want to direct your attention to some of God's immaterial blessings. Some of these are also spelled out in Psalm 100. For example, look in verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In other words, in addition to thanking God for what he does for you and what he gives to you, you need to be thanking him just for who he is. I remember a person years ago emphasized that, and it always has stuck with me. Our first tendency is, oh God, thank you for this and thank you for that. Oh, and I've got my shopping list here. Oh, thank you for all of that. And that's okay. He tells us to bring his request. But let's remember just to thank him for who he is. You see, he and only he. We're talking about the God of the Bible now. Is filled, as it said in verse 5, with infinite goodness, infinite love, infinite faithfulness. That's who God is. And then he goes on in other psalms to describe God also as being a God who is full of compassion, kindness, generosity, mercy, forgiveness, justice, and truth. God is all of these things and 100 more things. And so, as much as I got to admit, I do enjoy the blueberries. As much as I enjoy them, what overwhelms me today with even more thanksgiving is thanksgiving for God's immaterial blessings, for who he is, for his namesake. You know, over and over in Scripture, we're told to praise his holy name. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we're just praising, oh, Lord, I thank you that you're God, and thank you, God. No. We're thanking him, if I could use this, and this is not in my script here, Jim, I'm off script now. We thank the Lord for his brand. You know, we're into big into branding, okay? When I went into my painting business 12 years ago, they said, establish a brand. Quality, perfection, reliability, quality. And they said, establish a brand. Well, the name of the Lord is talking about his brand, in a sense. They're using modern language. The God of the Bible, the God who doesn't change, he's consistent, he's faithful, he's loving, he's compassionate. That's his name. That is his brand. I'm so glad that I know the Lord for who he is, his name. And because of that, I can have trust in him. Do you really, really trust somebody who is unreliable? Somebody who's a swindler and a crook? Someone who always lies to you, never reliable? I don't know if I want to phone that guy up to fix my plumbing. Last time he switched the hot water and the cold water around. It happened to my neighbor. No. The Lord is someone who he can trust because of his namesake, his brand. This is what it says in Psalm 100 and verse, second part of verse 4. It says, give thanks to him and praise his name. That's what the psalm writer is saying. The psalm writer is encouraging us to think of God's character, his personality, his track record, his reputation. This is all part of the brand. Think of all that and put it together. And then it says, praise his holy name. Today, I say to you honestly, that more than this is what I am truly thankful for, is who the Lord is. And you know, I wrestled with that question probably 6 weeks ago when Pastor Jack said, I'm going to be away at a wedding. Can you take the sermon? And so I started wrestling with this question. What is the thing that I am most thankful for that is impressed upon my heart and my mind? And the answer was, I'm most impressed with God's divine nature, that he is totally, absolutely, infinitely trustworthy in all of life's circumstances. Even when life goes sideways, don't give up trust in the Lord. He's trustworthy. A few weeks ago, I discovered an amazing verse. I'm sure I've seen it before, but maybe it just registered as we're talking about this topic of trust. It's found in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10, written by David. And this is what it says. It says, those who know your name, did you get that? Those who know your name will trust in you, Lord. You have never forsaken those who seek you. Wow. Really, that's really condenses half the Bible. to know the name of the Lord, what it really stands for. And then say, Lord, it's not just in my head, it's into my emotions, it's in my heart. It's beginning to fill my being now. I know who you are. I know your name, Lord. And because of that, I know I can put my absolute trust in you. As we track the story of David, that's, you know, King David. Well, no, we're going back now when he was just a teenager. David was an amazing individual because during his teenage years, he displayed amazing trustworthiness in God. Now, let me clarify that real trust cannot really be displayed or measured when in life, all the skies are sunny and the birds are all singing sweetly. We all like that. I mean, we all like that. And we enjoy that. But real trust actually is displayed and it's measured when the skies aren't sunny and when the birds aren't singing. Maybe as we prayed in our prayer a few minutes ago, God forbid, when we find ourselves being confronted by family issues, financial issues, health issues, mobility issues, or issues with the law, or 1,000 other things. You get the picture. Now, young David was able to confront Goliath. This is probably one of the most famous stories in the Old Testament. Goliath. David was able to confront Goliath, this super giant from Gath, on the battlefield. Because what? Because he had this overwhelming sense of trustworthiness in God. That was it. I shouldn't say that's it. That was an amazing thing. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. David meets Goliath on the battlefield. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord." Everything God represents, I'm here to represent and to present that to you right now and to all those Philistines. The name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. In other words, these are my words, prepare to meet your maker. Those were famous words out of Bugs Bunny cartoons, in case you're wondering, back in those days, okay? Remember that? Prepare to meet your maker. Well, that's what he said in so many words here. Now, exactly how big was Goliath? This is amazing. Now, I've talked to a couple of the guys in the church who are a little bit taller, to Tom and to Rob, who are somewhere between six, at some point, maybe, you know, our backs compress as we get older. But they were somewhere in the neighborhood of 6'4", 6'3". Now, no disrespect to these couple of guys. But, you know, by comparison to Goliath, they're just a couple of shrimps, okay? How big was Goliath? Well, look over here. The bottom black line on the wall is how tall the two guys are. 6'3", 6'4", okay? The top line is 9'3". That's how big Goliath was. Whoa. Ho, cats. I wouldn't want to meet him on a dark night, okay? The point I'm illustrating is that by the grace of God, somehow, young David came to understand what the name of the Lord is all about. And he said, if that's what the name of the Lord is all about, I know I can put my absolute trust in him and walk out on the battlefield and God will take care of things. And he did. Praise God. And this is an example to us, to know the name of the Lord, not just in our head, not just on paper, but in our whole fabric of our being. So as my message is winding down, I want to again repeat that the first and greatest reason that we must enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise is because the Lord is totally, absolutely trustworthy. That today is the message that I bring to you. And might I add that sometimes even our most seemingly impossible situations, I know we don't see it at the time, but in fact, these can be perfect opportunities for God to display himself to us. If only we say, Lord, my back's against the wall and I got a giant looking me straight in the eyes right now. Lord, if you don't do something, I'm sunk. I've been there. Maybe you have. And it's amazing when we put our total trust in the Lord, how he comes through in amazing ways. Amen. Well, as I conclude, let me tell you, I should say paraphrase, one of my favorite stories. It was circulating widely about 20 years ago. So I'm sure you've heard it, but it's a good story, so it always bears repeating, and it's got a good lesson to it. I just need to find it. Oh, yes, okay. It says, the story is told of a tourist who came too close to the Grand Canyon. He lost his footing and he plunged over, clawing and scratching to save himself. But as he went out of sight and fell in mid-space for a while, finally he encountered this scrubby-looking little bush. And he grabbed a hold of it in desperation as the roots began to tear out. And then he yelled out and said, can anybody help me? Can anybody help me? And then there was this very deep voice, unlike my voice, this very, very deep, calm voice said, yes, I probably can. Oh, okay. What is your problem? As if that wasn't obvious. Sometimes the Lord wants to get us to explain what the situation is so that we're just clear what's happening here. And the tourist says, I've fallen over the cliff. Can you help me? And the voice said, yes, I probably can. What is your problem? I've fallen over the cliff and I'm hanging on to this bush. Can you please help me? And the voice from above said, I'll try. But do you trust me? Oh, yeah, yes, 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 I definitely trust, I definitely trust. No, hang on. No, what I mean is, do you really, really trust me? Oh, yes, yes, I do. That's good. I just want you to let go and everything is going to be okay. It says that there's a long, tense pause. And then the tourist says, is there anybody else up there? Isn't that the way it is, eh? Well, as I conclude, one final thought. When we truly know the name of the Lord, We won't be needing to ask ourselves and to wonder if there's anybody else up there, because we'll come to know that the Lord is all trustworthy, and that when our life is in his hands, it's the best place it can be. So with that, let's pray, shall we? Oh Lord, we pray that you would help each of us, Lord, to come to know your name better, and to come to trust you more when the skies are sunny, and when the sun is not shining, and when it's cloudy out, whether the birds are singing or not singing. Lord, you don't change. You are the faithful one who is always the same, and for that, Lord, we give you thanks. Bless your people, we pray. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.